Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, I'm here with Fred Eng, founder of the National Alliance for Youth Sports and author of the book, Why Johnny Hates Sports. I'm also here with my brother, mental game coach, Dr. Patrick Cohn.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Patrick, and hi, Fred.
Good morning.
Hi, Lise.
Well, Fred, can we begin by talking a little about your book, Why Johnny Hates Sports? Now, your first chapter is about the sad state of sports in the U.S. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Well, the one thing, Lisa, what I've been asked a thousand times, I guess, is why is the name of the book, Why Does Johnny Hate Sports? Because it throws a lot of people when that question, you know, comes out in the title. And I say to them, the reason is because in the league where Johnny plays sports, the total emphasis is on championships and all-star games and the standings and the scoreboards, and it's all about competition and very rarely about Johnny. And then when Johnny gets involved in the league, then he has a coach, and the coach is one of the parents of one of the kids on the other team who really doesn't understand child development, doesn't understand the whole aspect of why children are out there. The only thing the coach understands is the same thing that he or she sees on television, and that is winning championships, whether it's at the professional, collegiate, the high school level. So they coach the same, and they berate children, they abuse children, they push children, they do so many things in the name of competition and winning at all costs that Johnny begins to hate sports from that perspective. And then, of course, we have what is the most popular thing that we hear in America. If you get rid of parents, you wouldn't have the problem that you have with children in sports. Well, the problem is Johnny has parents, and it's a terrible indictment on those parents to say that they shouldn't show up to watch Johnny play. But too often parents lose perspective. They get caught up in all of the rigmarole of the championships and the all-stars and their desire and their ego gratification to see their flesh and blood out there playing sports. And so that's why eventually so many children end up hating sports and quitting at the age of 13 to the rate of maybe 70% of the kids quit playing.
Right. Now, I'm sure you have some solutions for this problem.
Well, I do, and they're manyfold. I mean, you start and you think that throughout America that we have recreation agencies in every community across the country, and those facilities that are built by local citizens with tax dollars paid by you and me, those facilities are simply given away to parent interest groups, whether it's baseball, softball, soccer, football. These are volunteers who have never had any training whatsoever in dealing with children. And so I say, that what's the difference between that same child that goes to the school next door where the principal probably has a doctorate in childhood education, the teachers are all trained and certified in a four-year college, and they're dealing with the academic development of a child, yet we put Billy Jones's father out there coaching, and that child is involved in the outdoor classroom where they learn about life and life skills through sports.
Right. Well, so you recommend that coaches get trained and you offer a training program, correct?
Yeah, and with all that long dissertation I gave, I never really answered your question. And so the answer to it is really, you know, if we're going to give these facilities to individuals to run these programs, we need to require them to go through an orientation and understand through a code of ethics and behavior that these facilities are given to people to make sure that sports are positive and safe for children. And then we make sure that those individuals that are coaching do the same thing so that they understand the psychological, the emotional, the physical needs of children when they come out to play sports. We're not trying to make them psychologists. We're just trying to make them be caring people who understand that this isn't about sports really for most of these kids. It's about social development. And so the final thing is that when you have parents that become spectators, require them before these facilities are given to youth leagues, require those parents to go through and adhere to a code of conduct and behavior. And in the end, if they all can't do this, then don't give them the facilities. And people will come back and say, but you're punishing the kids. And I say, no, we're already punishing the kids when we leave them out there with people who have no guidelines and standards and codes of behavior.
Now, how many facilities have you worked with?
Well, right now our organization, which is America's leading advocate for positive and safe sports, we've trained over 2 million volunteer parents, had them sign a code of ethics and require them at the local level to live up to these code of ethics, or else they can be removed by their local chapter. We have over 3,000 recreation agencies who have official chapters of the organization, and we also have parents who belong to our Parents Association for Youth Sports.
Now, if I were to go to one of those facilities, what would I see that's different than, say, a more traditional one?
Well, that's a great question. What you would see is that you would first of all see that there's a chapter director who has been trained and certified in youth sports administration so that that individual understands what youth sports are all about. And when that individual gives the permit to these leagues, that those leagues, as I mentioned before, have been trained and understand what this is all about. They also have committees who oversee the behavior and conduct of parents and coaches and understand that if they don't adhere to these standards, that they cannot have the facility or they can be removed in their role as a coach. So you would see that different than in other leagues that operate simply on their own and go get a permit and do what they want to do with having nobody overseeing what's happening. And therein lies the difference.
And what about the parents and the kids? How are they going to be different?
Well, the thing is unfortunately, you know, we've all, well, maybe not everybody's heard of things that leagues have tried to do, such as silent Sundays where parents are not allowed to cheer or talk during the games, and it's happened in many soccer organizations. And so you would see that kind of difference there in organizations. But that's not something that I adhere to, because I think it's such a terrible indictment on the parent. It's like telling the parents that they're in time out because they can't behave.
Right.
Kids are out there playing, looking up, saying, why are the parents so quiet? You know, but it has come to that. And it's all so natural that people wonder, why do people behave the way they do? Well, I say it that people don't understand. I say because they love their kids. And they say they love their kids and behave this way. And I say, yeah, they behave this way because they don't emotionally have the control over the situation. Consequently, what happens is that when this happens is that they are not allowed, you know, to continue. And so it becomes a sad scenario overall.
Well, Fred, you know, it sounds like a great program for the sideline behavior for parents and coaching behavior at practices and games. What are you doing anything in terms of the education of parents? We hear a lot of things about the drive home, and you know that seems to me like it's a fraction of the parent's impact on the child overall, because you got a lot of time at home talking about sports and communicating. That sideline behavior, I would think it's easier for parents to kind of go with the group and stay in line versus what they're doing with their kids when on the ride home and when they're home alone.
Well, Yeah, and Patrick, as you know, that parents are parents are parents, and to be able to be, you know, as our organization, to be teaching parents how to be correct parents is a very difficult task. You see, in mainly because in sports, and we try our best in our parent orientation program by showing really awful behavior on the part of parents. Let me give you an example of a quick story. It happened out in Utah where one of our chapters, as many do, make it a requirement that your child cannot play sports in the organization unless the parent goes through this orientation program. And one of the mothers in the league said, I'm not doing that because why should you tell me I'm not a good parent? And they said, well, we're not saying that. We're saying that you need to come to this program if your child's going to play. So she reluctantly went, and she said, I'll sit through this half-hour video, and I'm going to turn my back. So she went in the back of the room, turned her chair around, refused to look at it. The chapter director says to us halfway through, because she could hear it, she turned the chair around, watched the rest of it. When it was over, raised her hand and said, I want to apologize and tell you that I think every parent in America ought to go through this program with their child in sports. The reason that she was saying that is that in this video, as I mentioned before, what we do is we show parents that lose control of their emotions, that scream and holler and do some of the most abusive things that they don't understand. And so that you take that and you say, you hope more than anything, people will look and see this kind of behavior and say to themselves, that's me. This is the kind of thing that I'm doing, whether it's at the game, whether it's at home, whether it's at any point in time of my parenting with my child, and understand that I've got to change. Well, the biggest problem that you have in sports, as opposed to just raising a child, is that we have many parents that have these great expectations. My child is going to be this next great athlete. And we've all heard the ugly, awful stories of parents who take children as young as 3 and 4 years old and try to mold them into this and capturing their lives completely without letting them just be children. Well, that's the problem that we have in children's organized sports. I'll never forget the first time that I heard a physician say at a conference that we had that youth sport programs are the greatest form of child abuse that we have in America. And I thought, man, I'm involved in this, and what we're doing is child abuse. And it is. It is to a very, very large degree. We don't even, you know, the things that we hear and we see on television or read in the newspaper, and you'll read about it again as this little league season goes along, but we hear just the tip of the iceberg. There are so many, many, many stories that are out there that we never hear about, of the ride home in the car that, you know, Billy, you really embarrassed your mom and I today because you didn't try. You struck out and cost the game. And the kid, what does he want to do? He just wants to be out there with Charlie and Tommy and just have fun. And so we destroy so much self-esteem and self-worth, and we don't even realize it.
Well, now, what if you were to give parents a couple of tips, the most important tips, what would you say to them?
Well, number one, that I my favorite thing is that the greatest gift that you can give to kids is time. And the parents do give children in sports time, but it's not the correct kind of time. And what they can do, and the tips that I would give, is number one, just support your child. They like you as a parent, are going to make many kind of mistakes. And don't try to look at your child and think of that being yourself out there, that if the child strikes out, you're going to be embarrassed because all the neighbors or your friends down there are looking at you thinking that your child's not an athlete. Parents get wrapped up in that. Don't think of that. Think of it as an opportunity that your child is in sports, having the greatest opportunity to learn about life, to learn perseverance, how to play as a team, how to abide by rules. These are all the great values that children can learn in sports, and we forget it as parents by looking up and seeing what the final score of the game is, whether their child really learned some situations of life. I was playing the other day golf with somebody, and this maybe will make it really clear. And it was a kid that went through one of our junior golf programs that we have with the organization. And here was the score, and he had a five on a hole, and somebody thought that he had, you know, a four, and he said, no, I really had a five. He didn't have to do that. But you see, what he learned through sports, what he learned through golf, and this goes over across all sports, he learned that there are ethics, there are rules and standards to abide by. He could have cheated, but he learned through sports that he could be honest. And that's what life is about. The academics that we learn in school obviously are wonderful, but in sports, that's what's so important about all of it, and that's what parents need to know. So the tips that I would say is look at sports and understand it is a wonderful opportunity to learn and teach about life through sports. And so what it's all about is learning ethics and fair play and sportsmanship and, above all, having fun.
I completely agree with you. I have a daughter who plays sports only to have fun. And she has a lot of fun, which is great. Well, Fred, thank you so much for joining us. It was great talking to you.
Well, and I'm thankful that you asked me.
Thanks, Fred.
All right, Patrick.
Be sure to visit youthsportspsychology.com to get our new workbook CD program, The Ultimate Sports Parent. You can also pick up our free ebook, 10 Tips to Improve Confidence and Success in Young Athletes. That's youthsportspsychology.com.